Big parts of the new health care law take effect today.
So what health care changes are we going to see?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, hello, I'm Bill Radke.
And I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Midday Update from Marketplace.org, and it's Thursday, September 23rd. A number of new health care provisions take effect today, all part of the massive health insurance reform package passed earlier this year.
Also ahead today, Blockbuster declares bankruptcy, but there will be some kind of sequel. And why Albanian bank robbers should watch more Woody Allen movies.
Huh.
But first,
as we said, some new pieces of the health care law kick in today, part of the overall health insurance package passed back in March. Young people are set to see some of the biggest changes starting today. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us from our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia to walk us through some of those changes. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Steve.
So what changes today for young people and their health benefits?
Well, starting today for new health plans, or for the rest of us, probably January 1st or when we renew our plan, the maximum age that you can keep children on your policy goes up from age 19 to age 26. And listeners may be familiar with state versions of these plans that had a lot of restrictions, but those are gone. So to the under 26ers out there, you can sign up on your folks' plan, even if you're not a student, even if you're married, and even if you live far, far away in another state. Two other laws that go into effect today, lifetime dollar caps on coverage are abolished, and health plans have to guarantee coverage for children regardless of a medical condition.
But I can imagine the insurance industry isn't taking that lying down, right?
Oh, right. Especially that last one, guaranteeing coverage. Insurance companies definitely don't like that. They said it'll encourage parents to run out and buy those policies after their kids get sick, which is a losing deal. So this week, we saw several big insurers, Anthem Blue Cross, Aetna, others, announce that they will no longer sell child-only policies as of today. And so today marks the shift. Going forward, we're going to see over 2 million young adults under age 26 get access to insurance through their parents' plan, while some kids are going to lose that access.
And you're talking about 2 million. That's a lot of people suddenly getting insurance, Gregory. I mean, tell me about the costs for the rest of us.
Right. Well, businesses will definitely pay more in premiums, but not much more, because it turns out millions of healthy young kids are pretty cheap to insure. It's estimated that this will raise premiums by maybe a half or 1%. And one survey of CEOs that I saw found that most companies did not plan to pass on those costs to workers. But that 2 million number, it's just a concept. It's one thing to offer eligibility. It's a whole other thing to get young adults to sign up. And I mean, I know when I graduated college, I was uninsured for a long while. I didn't really think it was that big a deal. Everybody I knew was uninsured at that point.
Yeah, me too.
So that's the thing, right? I mean, it's this question mark around healthcare reform, which is, can millions of healthy people be convinced to see insurance as a necessity worth paying a few bucks for?
Marketplace's Gregory Warner explaining it from Philadelphia, from our health desk at WHYY. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
To learn more about the healthcare provisions going into effect today, check out our website, marketplace.org.
It was just a matter of time. Blockbuster today officially declared bankruptcy, saying it needs time to reduce debt and reorganize. The one-time video rental king has struggled to keep pace with the competition and with technology. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us from New York with more. Hello, Elisa.
Good morning.
Blockbuster, man, that used to be the place to go for video rentals. How did that slip away?
Well, the short answer is technology. Blockbuster is just behind the times. You said it was the place to go for video rentals. Well, when's the last time you actually rented a movie, let alone a video? If they're renting at all, people are getting movies through kiosks like Redbox or through the mail, Netflix style. But the reality is a lot of people are doing instant download or using on-demand or just watching on their iPod or their iPad.
Right. And how can a neighborhood store compete with the Netflix warehouse full of DVDs?
Yeah, or iTunes, server full of movies.
Right.
It's interesting because we haven't seen that many bankruptcies lately, and the ones we have seen are mostly related to the recession or to the slow recovery. This one seems like it might have happened recession or not.
I talked about reorganization earlier, so Blockbuster's not going away totally?
Not yet. It says it's keeping its 3,000 stores open. It had announced previously that almost 1,000 stores were going to be shut down, and so that's going to still happen. Speculation is there'll probably be more closures down the road. Beyond that, Blockbuster says it's going to try to strengthen its balance sheet. That's how the CEO puts it. And try to change the business model to something that people are actually interested in using. But it's probably not radical to say that this may be too little too late.
That's Marketplace's Alisa Roth joining us from our New York bureau. Thanks, Alisa.
You're welcome.
The number of Americans filing new unemployment claims had been dropping the past few weeks, but this morning the government said that number rose by 12,000, up to 465,000 new jobless claims. Let's welcome economist Diane Swonk of Mesirow Financial. She joins us every Thursday from Chicago. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So government says this morning the number of new unemployment claims rose by 12,000 last week. The recession is supposed to be over, Diane. Are we slowly digging our way out, or are we slipping backwards?
Well, that's not clear at this stage of the game. The risk of a double dip is still higher than anyone would like to admit 14 months into what is supposed to be an economic recovery. Interestingly, the NBER, who declares the end of the recession, was careful to point out that despite the fact we troughed in the month of June of 2009, that says nothing about the strength of the recovery, which is sort of an understatement at this stage of the game. The recovery has gotten very weak of late as fiscal stimulus has played off. The private sector has been unable to really pick up the baton and get running again.
You mentioned fiscal stimulus. House Republicans today are announcing their election theme, Pledge to America. It includes continued tax cuts, among other things. Should we be looking to Congress to fix the economy?
Well, it's interesting how everybody doesn't want government in their business, but they do want us to solve our problems for us. That's the true conundrum. The reality is, with the deficits the size they are, fiscal stimulus will not be playing a key role in stimulating the economy going forward, which is forcing us to put the burden of stimulus on the shoulders of the Federal Reserve.
And the Federal Reserve made a statement this week. Basically, they're concerned and they're standing by. Was that forceful enough?
Well, certainly given the dissent within the Fed and disagreements about whether or not they should actually stimulate further and whether it will even have any impact, that's about as strong as you're going to get. That said, Ben Bernanke, regardless of what his colleagues on the Federal Reserve feel, has made a pledge to the American public that if things continue to deteriorate and disappoint, he will step up to the plate and do more in whatever way he can. This is a man who invented bullets out of thin air during the crisis, so my faith is in him.
Economist Diane Swonk of Mesirow Financial. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Today, businesses are calling for improvements to the nation's transportation network. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce will unveil its first ever Transportation Performance Index. That's going to highlight what it calls the urgent need to rebuild infrastructure. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Dilapidated highways, corroding rail lines, and neglected seaports are raising the cost of delivering goods and services. And that's slowing down the recovery, says the Chamber of Commerce. How bad are conditions?
Clear indication of going down, getting worse over the last 5 to 6 years.
Sue McNeil at the University of Delaware worked with the Chamber to come up with the Transportation Performance Index. She says the index shows businesses are suffering the consequences of disintegration.
Rather than working in the infrastructure, they work around it. Companies do off-peak delivery. They worry about damage to the vehicles, so they think about how they make their vehicles more robust.
McNeil says a 10-point improvement in the new transportation index would generate 3% more growth in the nation's gross domestic product. How much would that cost? That's the next research project, she says. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
That tall Frappuccino from Starbucks could soon cost just a little more. Raw coffee prices have been rising, and now the world's largest coffee chain says it's going to raise prices as well. Starbucks says the increases will be focused on big and labor-intensive drinks. Most of the basic coffee drink prices will stay just about the same.
You're listening to the Midday Update for Thursday, September 23rd. I'm Bill Radke. For the latest look at the markets, just jump over to the numbers. There are at marketplace.org. President Obama's ex-budget director, Peter Orszag, told CNN recently that letting all of the Bush tax cuts expire would bring the U.S. within striking distance of balancing the budget by 2015. That got the attention of Marketplace's economics editor, Chris Farrell. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, Bill.
Letting taxes rise would seriously whack the deficit. What does that tell you?
You know, it tells me that a lot of conservatives who want the tax cuts left alone, Well, they may not be that serious about really cutting the deficit. But here's a more important point, because I don't want to go on a cynical take. You know, I thought, and a lot of the commentary has been that, boy, this budget deficit is intractable. This is going to take years to solve. It's going to be difficult politics. But then there's this real simple, swift way to essentially balance the budget. Let taxes rise.
Well, Chris, to make the conservative argument, isn't it that you want to starve the beast? You keep taxes down and you force politicians to find ways to cut spending?
There was a supply-sider, Bruce Bartlett. He was in the Reagan Treasury. He's now a conservative commentator. And he has called that idea of starve the beast the most pernicious fiscal doctrine in history. You know, what it became is a justification for cutting taxes.
And what about the argument that now is not the time to raise taxes? That would take money out of consumers' hands and strangle this little economy.
All right, you're right. But I have a solution. Every member of Congress that has proclaimed that the U.S. could be the next Greece because of the deficit pledged to extend the tax cuts one more year. Then if you want to talk about tax reform, entitlement reform, that's fine. Go ahead. Don't do it. But let's show the world that we're serious about fiscal sanity. And we figured out how to do it simply, quickly. Oh, by the way, Bill.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. But it's a good litmus test.
Sanity that won't happen. That's Marketplace's economics editor, Chris Farrell.
This Bud's for you, and it's free. As part of a new marketing campaign next week, Budweiser, the beer company, will hand out free brewskis in bars and restaurants nationwide. The company's trying to attract younger drinkers who have been giving Bud a pass in favor of trendier beers. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Maybe the ad with the sappy music and cute Clydesdale colt isn't the best way to attract hip young beer drinkers. Bud sales are down nearly 10%. So all next week, free Budweiser will flow in trendy pubs and restaurants where young people hang out and where Bud isn't usually a top pick.
People in their early 20s, they have so many options right now.
Joshua Bernstein writes the Beer of the Week blog at slashfood.com. He says it'll be hard for a big brewery to muscle in on the more expensive microbrews that young drinkers like.
People want quality. They're not going for a six-pack of Budweiser. They're going for craft beers.
And craft beer sales keep pouring it on, up 7% last year, while overall beer sales fell. Bud's new marketing campaign includes a TV ad blitz and free beer for Facebook users on their birthdays. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The drug maker Abbott Laboratories is recalling millions of containers of its best-selling infant formula, Similac. The company says its powdered form of Similac may be contaminated with a small beetle or larva, which could cause stomach ache and digestion problems.
You're listening to the Midday Update for Thursday, September 23rd. I'm Steve Chiotakis. For the latest look at the markets, you can jump on over to the numbers at our website, marketplace.org. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. The world's biggest offshore wind farm opens today off the south coast of England. The farm is going to boost Britain's wind power capacity by 30%. That's going to make the UK the largest generator of offshore wind power in the world. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us from London to talk about it. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Now, this sounds like a really big project. Give us some idea of the scale of it.
100 turbines, each 380 feet tall. It should generate enough electricity for more than 200,000 homes. It cost the owner, the Swedish utility giant Vattenfall, more than $1 billion to build.
$1 billion. Now, will the Swedish company recover that investment, Stephen?
Well, the prospects are pretty good because wind power is heavily subsidized. The company gets to sell all its electricity to the grid at a much higher price than if it were generated by fossil fuels. The grid companies have to buy it. They're under a legal obligation to do so. And they'll pass on some of the cost to consumers. According to one estimate, we could be talking about an extra $20 per household per quarter. What the country gets out of it, of course, is clean energy and energy security. Here's Steve Remp, who runs an offshore wind power company in Scotland.
offshore wind is expensive. There's no question about that. It will only survive with government support or in terms of economic incentives. But it's going to happen. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
But it is still very early days. The UK has all this capacity, but it still only supplies about 4% of the country's electricity needs. And sceptics say wind power will always be a very expensive way to go because wind is an erratic source of energy and you always will need backup generating sources, and that means more expense.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
There's an emergency meeting in Delhi, India today, tackling concerns over shoddy facilities and security at the Commonwealth Games. The international multi-sport event features competition among thousands of athletes from members of the British Commonwealth. Several teams, however, are threatening to pull out. Here's the BBC's Shilpa Kanan.
This is the biggest sporting event India has ever hosted. More than 40,000 workers have been scrambling to get everything ready. But with just over a week to go, the construction of the buildings where the games will be held is still going on. And representatives of the national teams who've arrived ahead of the athletes aren't impressed with what they've seen. Craig Hunter, the head of England's team for the Commonwealth Games, was shocked by what he saw.
The toilets and what have you are clearly a mess. The air conditioning isn't working. There's flooding. The hot and cold water feeds are reversed. It's just not satisfactory.
Civil rights groups claim there have been serious violations of labour laws during construction. Over 40 workers have died during the construction. Building will continue even as today's emergency meeting takes place to discuss management of the project. But organisers insist everything will be ready before the games begin. From Delhi, I'm the BBC's Shilpa Kannan for Marketplace.
And finally, a couple of would-be Albanian bank robbers were arrested yesterday. They tried to drill a passageway into a bank vault from a shop they had rented above the bank.
If that sounds familiar to you, that's because it's the plot of the Woody Allen flick Small Time Crooks. That's a movie that came out 10 years ago.
I saw that.
It's going to be a lot of work, fellas, believe me. But when it's over, we're going to be all very well compensated.
Wait, who's going to work the drill?
Who's ever going to work the drill, I'll tell you now, okay? It's going to make a lot of noise.
No, no. Hey, we wrap this blanket around and it's fine.
You got to know how to work a drill like that.
Yeah, funny enough, it was the noise from the drill that caught the attention of authorities there.
Yes, it actually happened that way. Maybe they should have used that blanket.
Maybe they should have. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis.
And I'm Bill Radke. This is the Marketplace Midday Update.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.